Well, Bob, the Hatfield grace is contagious in your family. Could see it from their comments and their remarks. There's a phrase that's, it had church origins, but over the years it's become a part of the popular culture. It's called preaching to the choir. It's the idea that you're preaching to the people or speaking to people who are already committed to the cause. Well, today we have a little play on words. We're calling it preaching from the choir. For we know for 36 years in this church, you've preached every Sunday. Not through a sermon, but through the medium of hymns and anthems and music. You've preached in a very powerful way to this congregation. And today, as you think about the years that you have been here, is there a theme, a biblical theme, that has sort of run through all of your preaching through music here at Dawson? And if so, would you share it with us?
Yes, sir. But first of all, I'd like to thank you for the privilege of sharing the sermon time with you. The sermon time is sacred time. I grew up in a preacher's home. I know how sacred it is. And so for me to share in this time with you is an honor, and I'm humbled by that. Very early in my ministry as a minister of music, those early churches, there was one scripture that captured my attention. It was actually on the fly leaf of one of the early Baptist hymnals. It talked about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. And so it's based in Colossians. That's sort of become the theme for me in music ministry, not only here but in previous churches, but especially here at Dawson. It's in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. The words are going to be on the screen. I'd like to read it for you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I'm not used to preaching at the pulpit or in that spot, but on Wednesday nights in choir practice, sometimes I preach a little bit. And so what I'd like to do for just a moment here is to share with you like I would share with the choir. If we were singing an anthem based on Colossians 3, 15 through 17, this might be something I would say to them. You take the first phrase, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ cannot rule in your hearts unless the person of Christ rules in your heart. It's relationship with Jesus Christ that gives us eternal peace. But it's a relationship that demands our obedience. And if Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then we can truly experience his eternal peace. The second phrase says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As I mentioned, I grew up in a pastor's home. The first 18 years of my life, the two most influential people in my life were my mother and dad, Ben and Ginger Hatfield. They modeled for me this scripture, because I saw them every morning reading from the Word of God. They were hiding that Word and letting it dwell in their lives. And so they placed within me a hunger for God's Word that has never gone away. Polly and I have tried to do the same thing with our children. And parents and grandparents, you have that responsibility as well. Let your children see you reading the Word of God. Let them hear you reading the Word of God, and you will be planting a hunger in their hearts that will be there for a lifetime. But we do the same thing in the music ministry here, through the songs that we sing, all the way from preschoolers, all the way to senior adults and everybody in between. We're planting the Word of God in those truths. Now, the groups that I have the most influence on are the chapel choir, those high schoolers, and the sanctuary choir, the adults. I love to look in the eyes of those students as the words of those anthems, the scriptures that have been set to music, come to life, and they realize what they're singing. And years later, those words come back just when they need them the most. Then on Wednesday night, our choir practice, my favorite hour of the week. When we get together and those adults sing biblical truths to beautiful music, it's a worship time there. And those words come back to them as well in times of need. The next phrase says, let teach and admonish one another or encourage one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Christianity is a singing faith. And when we sing together in worship, we nail those truths down that we believe. We affirm in our hearts and with our voices and with our fellow believers, this is what I believe about God. This is what God has done in my heart and in my life. So we sing all kinds of music, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and it's all to honor God and to affirm in our hearts how we feel about Him and what we believe about Him. And then the final part is, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Dr. Fenton, you have taught us and you have modeled for us that we're to be servants. Our mission statement says to become and help others become servants, faithful servants of Jesus Christ. The music ministry is a serving ministry. Just yesterday, 106 high schoolers and their sponsors returned from a week of ministry and service in Denver. While they were there, they provided a music camp for underprivileged children. They provided food and sang for people in a homeless shelter. They went to a farm that's for men who are in rehabilitation from addictions. They provided some supplies for them, and they fed them and sang for them. And everything that they were doing was as the hands and feet of Jesus. Our choirs have literally sung the gospel all over the world, here in our own state, but also in countries like England and Germany and Scotland and China. And everywhere we've gone to share the gospel through music, spread the fragrance of Jesus everywhere, it's been all for His honor and glory, and our choirs have served so effectively.
Well, that's preaching, Bob. Thank you. But not only do you preach through explaining God's word when you lead in a choir rehearsal, and as you did today as well, but through the hymns that you choose and the anthems you choose, you are also preaching and teaching. And you've worked us through three hymnals over the years. And we've probably sung every hymn at some time in each of those hymnals. As you think back over these 36 years, is there one hymn or one anthem or several that come to mind that reflect the theme of your ministry?
Well, if you ask a minister of music what his favorite hymn is, that's like asking a preacher what your favorite scripture verse. There's so many that speak to my heart. And you know, the same thing happens for you when your circumstances in life change. A different hymn may be the one that speaks to your heart at that point. But there's been one that's been significant for me and pretty constant throughout all these years, and it's a Dawson favorite as well. Great is thy faithfulness. It always seems to be appropriate. Sometimes for times of great celebrations, there have been some high and holy moments here in this sanctuary. And sometimes it's been in sorrowful times. Some of the celebrations I remember are on Commitment Sundays. We used to call it Pledge Day. When we would walk down these aisles together and place our commitment cards here at the front and our offerings, and then we would stand and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because we knew God was going to be faithful to us. There have been other times when, as a congregation, we've come together after national tragedies, and we've sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because we needed to be reassured that God is faithful, and He was going to take care of us. Times of natural calamities around our state, we've gathered here on Sundays and sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And for most of you, and for myself included, there have been times of sorrow and the loss of a loved one. And we've gathered for memorial services and funerals, and we've sung, Great is Thy Faithfulness. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Not only do you preach through the hymns and anthems, but you preach through the very way that you lead special events and ministries and worship here at the church. You've led worship over 5,000 times since you've been at Dawson. When you think about the Sunday mornings and the Sunday nights and the special events and the weddings and the funeral, 5,000 times. Are there any of those services where something stands out that you know that preaching has been taking place through the event?
Well, all of us have special events that relate to our families. Two that I would say, and that happened on a Sunday morning, it's when my daughter made a profession of faith right here, and when my son made a profession of faith when they were baptized. And many of you have experienced that same thing. But as far as special events, the one that stands out, I have to say, happens at Christmas time every year. The weekend before Christmas is Candlelight at Dawson. Our choir prepares for weeks and weeks for that service, not as a performance, but as a time of worship together. And people invite their families home. It's like homecoming. And we invite friends and colleagues at work and our neighbors in the community come. We sing the great hymns and carols of Christmas. The choir processes down the aisle with their candles held. The transepts in the choir loft are filled, and they sing great songs like That Night and the Hallelujah Chorus. But the climactic moment of the night is when every worshiper and the place is packed, lights their candle, and as we sing Silent Night, they lift it up as we sing Alleluia to the King. You can't be here and not be immersed in worship at that moment. So candlelight is the high and holy moment for me.
Individuals who do not understand the work of a minister of music may look at what you do and sometimes think, you know, he just comes in on Monday morning and randomly goes through the hymnal and picks out the hymns he wants. And he thumbs through that library of music that has the anthems in it and picks out the one you're in the mood for that Sunday. But those of us who know you and have observed you work realize it's not at random. It's not about choosing what you like. You take your work and your calling very seriously. And as a result, you're led to the music you select for the choir and for the congregation. God has led you in your preaching. Now, today, has God led you to say something, not necessarily through music, but has God led you to say something to your church family today?
Well, the choir has already sung the text from Philippians. It's a great, great message to all of us. It's found in Philippians 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love that phrase, partnership in the gospel, because that's what you've been for me. We've been in partnership. And God has been faithful to us over these years. And you know what? God is continuing to be faithful because he's led a wonderful young man and his wife here to Dawson, John Woods, to become the next minister of worship and music. John is a very talented young man, gifted. He has a deep and abiding love for God. He has a passion for worship. And he has the heart of a servant. You have a great opportunity to start a new partnership. And I'm going to be counting on you to do that. Become a partner in ministry with John. But you know what? I'm retiring, but I'm not finished. God has something else for me to do. And you know what? He has something for you to do as well. Whatever our season of life, God has a purpose for us and something for us to do. So we need to be obedient. We need to listen and follow his will, his voice for our lives. And we can be assured then that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Well, Bob, I know as you've shared, God's got a purpose in your life, and we're thankful that that purpose gets to be expressed here at Dawson, because later in the fall, Bob will be rejoining us again. He will be serving in a part-time role of our minister to adults 55 and older. And if you fit in that category, get ready for a call from Bob. God has blessed you in a powerful way and blessed our church. And as you were describing candlelight, there's a moment in candlelight where we often say that the focus changes from what's here on the platform and moves to the congregation. That's when the congregation starts to light the candles. And the emphasis is what's happening in the pew rather than what's happening on the platform. We're at that point of the service today. We don't have candles. But the same thing is happening today, because you have heard the Word of God preached in a very powerful way. God is always faithful. When His Word is preached, there is also a calling to those who are hearing. This morning, as you have heard God's Word, God may be inviting some of you to experience that faith, that presence of God dwelling in you reality. We invite you to do that. There may be others who have accepted Christ but never shared it publicly, and during the invitation, you might wish to make that commitment. There may be others that God is leading and calling to be a part of this church, or to participate in a particular ministry of this church. If God is calling, we invite you to respond. One of the many things I've appreciated about working with Bob is he has taught us the rhythm of worship. Worship always begins as God's initiative, but there's always a human response. God invites, we respond. Through Bob's preaching to us today, God has taken the initiative toward all of us. He has invited us to either know him or to come closer to him or to serve Him this morning, the emphasis now is no longer on the platform, but on the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we have heard your word in a powerful way. We thank you for the word that has been faithfully preached for these 36 years. But now we thank you specifically for today. We receive your word. We respond to your word. And we commit our lives fresh and new to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.